this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
Hello, this is Tricia Antone. I'm here with Steve LaTulip today, and this is Unleashed, the Political News Hour on America Out Loud Radio. We have a fabulous show today. We're discussing probably the most important Supreme Court decision in our own lifetime. The Supreme Court has ruled this morning that Colorado cannot take Trump off the ballot. And of course, everybody has heard this by now. But I think the important things about these, it was a unanimous decision. And that doesn't happen every day. Even the liberals on the court were aligned with this decision, although they took some issue with the wording of the decision, but they were aligned with it. And so it was unanimous. And of course, you can, as we expected, the screeching from the left is only just begun. This morning, I heard the Secretary of State for Colorado bemoaning the ruling and saying that the states should have a right to remove an insurrectionist, as she worded it. And, you know, that's important. We need to pay attention to the fact that they always label the person, not the behavior, not the events, not the facts. They label the person. It's about his identity. And that has been consistent with the left the whole time. They can't take issue with what he does. And so they take issue with his identity. CNN had said that if the court doesn't rule that he in fact committed an insurrection, or if they didn't rule on the question about whether or not he actually committed the act, that it would leave this thing on the table, it would blow up subsequently. And on January 6th of 2025, we would have this event where Congress fails to certify and there would be kind of a constitutional crisis. Well, initially I thought, well, yeah, the only way we end up taking this tactic off the table is to have the Supreme Court rule on whether or not an insurrection took place. Well, they can't. They couldn't. That question wasn't before the court. What was before the court was limited to, can Colorado take the candidate off the ballot on the basis of this part of the Constitution, Article 3 of the 14th Amendment? And they answered that question in unanimous form. And the reason they had to limit it to that question is that they haven't brought a case. Nobody has brought a case against Trump having actually committed insurrection. They can't prosecute that case. So our attitude needs to be, you know, bring it. We need to force them to prove it. And that actually could happen then. On January 6th of 2025, it could actually happen that the Democrats in Congress actually fail to certify, and they call him an insurrectionist in doing that. But if they did that, they would have to substantiate it. I have Dr. Steve LaTulip with me today. Steve, what do you think about that? Do you think that it's better that the question before the court did get limited and that it was answered in unanimous terms, and that with attendance to the risk that could happen on the in January of 2025? Or what are your thoughts about that?
Well, Tricia, you know, it was nice to see the 9-0 unanimous decision. I think it had it not gone that way, it would have been another big open can of worms. It would have been more tyranny, more persecution for Trump. At least the SCOTUS ruling in favor of Donald Trump, saying that he cannot be taken off of any state ballot, has really brought us a unifying factor. And it's nothing new. It's just saying it brought us back to the Constitution. And that's what we have to constantly be doing, go back to the Constitution. However, I mean, there were three liberal justices who actually made some comments to the effect that they thought that maybe SCOTUS went too far in the decision. I don't know if you'd heard about that.
No, I hadn't. Tell me more about that.
Well, they're just saying that.
What way?
Yeah, they're just declaring that. Well, you know, we're in making the decision that a state does not have a right to remove any candidate from the ballot because that is not a state function. What they wanted in the overstepping that the three liberal justices declared was that there was, I suppose, an assumption that Donald Trump really was not an insurrectionist. And this is proof of that. Or that's what the liberals fear, saying, wait a minute. Since he's on the ballot, then he could not have been an insurgent. And that's going too far. Now,
okay.
That, of course, that's not really the case. And we know that. But of course, we know that Donald Trump is not an insurgent. He did nothing to cause any of the violence. And we know who started the violence. And it was not the people who were protesting the government for a stolen election, which we know is a fact now.
Sure. Well, we do know it. And the other thing is, by the time this ends up becoming an issue in the Congress of January 2025, then the J6 tapes will be done being released. They're being released in increments right now. And so they'll have that process complete, and all of the information then will then be in the public realm. We won't have any more guessing to do about that. But my other point was, it kind of tracks the leftist's argument there, kind of tracks back to the oral arguments in which they had cited. Remember, they had cited a previous, and I think it was either an AG or a Colorado Secretary of State, who pulled somebody off the ballot because that person was constitutionally ineligible, and that's the reasoning that was used. I think it was an executive within Colorado's government that pulled him off the ballot on the basis that he was not a natural born citizen. And so on that basis, and that was part of oral arguments that, okay, it's already been established that was okay. I think Justice Gorsuch, but then Judge Gorsuch had previously ruled that that was an appropriate thing that the state executive did because of the fact that there wasn't a there was no contest in terms of the factual elements that caused him to do that. I mean, he wasn't contesting, oh yes, I was born here. He wasn't contesting that. So given that was the case, I think they were leaning on that argument to say, okay, the states have authority under the eligibility clause to determine the eligibility, and therefore we ought to be able to use any other part of eligibility to exercise the same right. So I think that's how that tracks. And when during oral arguments, I don't remember which justice was asking about when does it become established that an insurrectionist, and in other words, how does the ineligibility become established? Is it immediate? Is it self-enforcing? And he kept probing along those lines with the Colorado attorneys, and we could see the skepticism there, because the question of is he an insurrectionist has never been adjudicated. And the closest we came was when they tried to impeach on that basis, and they failed to impeach on that basis. So, the question was raised and answered, and then they basically tried it again without any substantiation. So that, I think, is absolutely correct, that he is, if they try to do this again in January of 2025, attendant to their responsibility to certify the election, A, they will have to prove it. They will have to substantiate it. They can't just label him an insurrectionist. They have to come up with events and behaviors and facts that prove him guilty of an actual crime of insurrection. So that's one thing. The other thing is that they've made that very much more difficult by passing, what was that, Steve? Did they not pass a law in December of 2022 that changed to raise the bar on how many Congress people would be required to send the results back to the states?
Yeah, I'm really not sure of that. I remember hearing something about it, but I'm not sure if it was like a two-thirds majority or something like that. But yeah, we have to keep in mind the fact that President Trump is guilty of nothing officially. He's not been prosecuted for anything. He has not been found guilty in anything. And, you know, for as positive as this ruling was, I think that it's just taking us another step down the path, because I think they really do have this all planned out in, as to how they are going to keep Trump from ever becoming president of the United States. That is their ultimate goal. And I don't think that they have any limits as to what they will do. And they've already proven that, haven't they?
That's the frightening part. That is the frightening part. And I think that they persist in this anything goes plan for as long as there remains political capital to be gained and to be retained in doing that. And that brings me to another point, Steve, and I'd like to discuss this. We're going to break for just a minute to for station identification and to acknowledge our sponsors here. But when we come back, I want to talk about something that you brought up in a previous article, and that was normalcy bias, the kind of collective blindness that seems to pervade people on the left. We'll be right back with more discussion of this in just a minute.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
And we're back. Get all the articles, podcasts, and pertinent news you need, always the uncensored truth from our team of truth seekers who put God and country first. Go to AmericaOutLoud.news. Well, Steve, what do you think? Do you think there's a relationship between the normalcy bias that you talked about in a previous article and the existence of so much political wind for something that has no substantiation in fact at all?
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with it. And for those of you who do not understand normalcy bias, it describes a phenomenon of disbelieving one's situation when they're faced with a grave and imminent danger, such as we are facing with our country right now. And it's like an over-focusing on the actual phenomenon instead of taking evasive action. Like here we are seeing, in my opinion, our government is overthrowing our Constitution right now. They are a declared domestic enemy. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And what really bothers me is that so many people are just plain apathetic. They are cowardly. They're just sitting on the fence. I think that they're in denial. And this is in itself an extremely dangerous defense mechanism, if you will. If we go on thinking that nothing's going to happen to us while it is happening every single day, then we're never going to face what is really happening. And I think that to do that is just to seal our coffin of freedom, because it will be gone forever.
Well, and I think the phenomenon of normalcy bias is actually being instilled in a way. We have the government and the media, the mainstream media anyway, the legacy media, aligned in the purpose of actually instilling that it's all okay, it's all okay. You know, just keep looking at your screens and just keep playing Candy Crush because everything's fine. And I think that's kind of what they're producing that on purpose.
Oh, but yeah. You're right. As they continue to prey on us, you know, I mean, you look at all that is happening, everybody's complaining, everybody's pointing things out. I mean, that's what I see is a big problem with the release of all these J6 videos, Tricia. I mean, we're going to have all this information, we're going to see it all, and what are we going to conclude? It's going to be nothing different than what we've already concluded. There was absolutely no insurrection. But do you think the J6 hostages are going to ever be released? But, you know, under the current presidency, no way.
Not under the current presidency. Absolutely not. And see, that this is the hopeful sign, though. The hopeful sign is that you look at the way Trump is surging, and Trump is actually a metaphor for America first thinking. That's what's surging, is America first thinking. People are now feeling the pain that was caused by basically installing a senile old coot who is the puppet of the global Marxist agenda. And since we're feeling that pain now, it's turning things around. I think that normalcy bias only breaks up when the average person is subject to at least some consequence. Before she's subject to some consequence at all, or he, you can use your votes as a virtue signal, and in using your vote as a virtue signal, it's okay, and there's no illegal people until the illegal alien is committing a crime against your own household, against your own child. You know, then you feel it, and so it gets different, and it's starting to strike close to home now in the urban centers where Democrat strongholds are, and I think that is going to shake it up. I think that's finally what's going to shake it up, is when the people who were most inclined to support the Democrat cause are now seeing it hurts.
Right. But, you know, Tricia, when you look at our government, like we keep on relying on our government to fix our problems when, in fact, the government creates all the problems, but they're continuing to do these things that amount to nothing. And I would cite for a recent example, Marjorie Taylor Greene just was supposedly the sole sponsor of this bill called the Matthew Lawrence Perna Act. And this is a bill to grant people a right to assemble, to protest politically without any retribution. Now, she lamented the fact, and there was an article that came out on this just recently, and they said, look, this poor Marjorie Taylor Greene is the only one who's supporting this bill. Well, you know, what I asked myself, what value does the Matthew Lawrence Perna Act really have? Because we already have the law in place, just as we do for with border protection, right? I mean, we've got the First Amendment, which says the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition government for a redress of grievances cannot be denied them. It is a human right. And of course, that was denied. And that's why they called it an insurrection and so forth. But if we don't stop spinning our wheels, trying to reinvent a wheel that is not turning any longer, we're not recognizing the Constitution, then we're dead in our tracks. I mean, what we really need is, as it says in the Second Amendment, it just flat says we need a militia. And I'm getting to the point where I believe that strongly. I mean, it says that it is essential to sustain freedom. And we totally gloss over that. But who's going to protect us against the FBI when they come knocking on our door, or you know, the IRS, Department of Homeland Security, whoever it may be? We have so many weaponized agencies in our government right now, and they are all enemies of the people. And I think this reporter, Steve Baker from The Blaze, is another testimony to that fact, that that they're after us, you know.
I can understand what Marjorie Taylor Greene is doing, though, in this act, and that is, in order, political wind counts for a lot, Steve, and the political winds have blown in the favor of the left for a long time. So without respect to what the Constitution says, and without respect to the division of powers and all these other things, these bureaucracies have grown up to be monsters. They're literally monstrous now. And you, when you look at a Department of Education that has X number of rounds and is armed to the teeth, it's like, holy buckets, you know, this has gotten completely out of control. So how to turn the political wind in the face of things like normalcy bias, in the face of things like denial and tune out and that sort of thing? Well, you need big measures to do that. You need to do things in a big way. Does that mean arm a militia and start marching on Washington? I think if it goes in the direction, that direction, we've got a circular firing squad that's going to leave nothing but smoldering ruins. So no,
I agree with that.
Big things judicially and big things. I'm in favor of a convention of states. And the reason I'm in favor of that is, A, it bypasses Congress. We need to bypass the federal government in our attempt to clip the federal government's wings. We need to prune the federal agencies as a matter of law. Well, sure, you could cite the 10th Amendment, which is almost more an idea than it is an actual usable law with specific teeth to it. So I think that a convention of states, which literally limits and defunds and disbands a lot of these bureaucracies, is needed. And that would be big enough to basically bring the American people along with us, to create its own political wind.
Tricia, let me ask you, how many states have signed on to the convention of states?
The COS application, as they are currently running their application, has 19 states signed so far. And when I say signed, what it means is that they have to pass through both houses of their legislature. They have to pass a resolution in support of this particular application, it's called. So the application actually produces the legal scope of a convention that would be called under it. And that's why we've had over 400 different applications circulating at various times, you know, throughout the nation's history.
And how many states do we need to call a convention?
We need 34 to call a convention. So, but what that means is that you have to have 34 agreeing to the specific language that sets the specific legal and binding scope on that convention. So in other words, you can't just call a convention, oh, we all agree to have a convention, and then we can just add willy-nilly to the purposes and functions of that convention. That's not what's going to happen. You have a specific scope. The very first challenge any amendment that successfully exits this convention, now it's an actual proposal, the first challenge it's going to face is, does that comport to the legal scope of the convention from which it emerged. So that's why we haven't had a convention called. It's because the bar is set so high and the scope is in fact binding on the result, the work product of that convention. You have to remember the convention itself has no plenary power. It's not going to set any laws. What it's going to do is propose. But the proposals are going to be subject, especially if those proposals serve to snip the wings of the federal beast, you know, they are going to suffer real challenge. And the very first one is going to be, oh, well, this one is outside the scope of the convention purpose that as it was originally called. That's the very first one it will face. So that whole bit about scope is very, very true, that it is, in fact, binding.
Well, I like the thought of it. I've actually dug into that, you know, a fair bit. What I am not certain of, and this might just be my personal limitations, is can this whole process be abused by the other side as well? In other words, are we subjecting ourselves possibly to a tyranny of the masses? And how, you know, which way is this going to go? Because there's no guarantees. If we were to defend the Constitution that we have, it has served us well for all these years.
It has. And it's been amended 27 times. We have 27 amendments. And the only difference between the amendment process that put those amendments in place and the amendment process that would put amendments that snip the federal government's wings, the only difference is who proposes, who gets to frame the debate, and on whose agenda are we moving? So 27 different times we've had an amendment that has been proposed by the federal Congress and then ratified in the states. That's well and good. We have some amendments now. Some of them, like the 17th Amendment, you kind of wonder, you know, did that cause an imbalance of power? A lot of people think so. Any rate, the 16th Amendment authorized the federal government to dip directly into our pockets, where before that, the federal government got its funding from the states, which created it. So, you know, there are some things that probably went against the individual citizens' interests and for the growth of big government that got appended to our Constitution by virtue of this process. So can it be used for purposes that are against our interests? Absolutely. We've already watched it happen. And that is much more likely when Congress, the source of the problem, is the one proposing the amendments. So suppose that's not the source of the proposal. Suppose the source of the proposals is the states in a manner that bypasses Congress. What you'd have then is you would have a work product consisting of a body of amendments, all of which are subject to a huge bar. It's a huge high bar. 38 states have to ratify. So it takes 34 states to call a convention, all of whom have to agree on a legal scope of the convention. That binds all of the work product from that convention to that scope. Then 38 states have to ratify. So two separate processes, one propose in a convention of states, second ratifying. The ratifying is the second process.
Okay, but Tricia, let's be reasonable here. I don't want to rain on your parade, but we've got until November 5th this year. I don't think we're going to have a call to a convention of states by that time, unfortunately.
No, not at all.
We may not have a country to even be having this discussion any longer if things don't go the right way.
That's so true, and I'm not suggesting that this process be the way we respond to what's happening between now and the election. That's certainly not. But what I am saying, though, is that electing an executive who is an outsider, who does support the idea of the federal bureaucracy has grown too big, and the federal bureaucracy not only nurtures but then helps to hide and conceal corruption. And so it needs to be contained. We've got in President Trump, we have a candidate who is going to fit that bill and who is going to work toward the purpose of unearthing some of this corruption, some of this overgrowth. And that's great. But I'm just saying it's going to take then a larger thing to save our country. isn't going to happen at the ballot box alone. It's to save our country, we're going to have to engage ourselves in a constitutionally provisioned process that is designed to do that purpose.
Well, I think, you know, if I ask myself, all right, this SCOTUS ruling, 9-0 in favor of Trump being on the ballot, I think that is excellent. I think it is monumental. It is unifying for our country. Of course, there's other issues like will the Supreme Court also grant Trump full presidential immunity? Because if not, then he's got some other really huge problems to overcome. And of course, that's not even considering the fact that all of the other recent presidents could be taken down under that. But you know, it won't happen simply because we're not dealing with Democrats or Republicans. We're not even dealing with federal versus state problems. We're dealing with a federal government that is in cahoots with a global government. I mean, that's why they're going borderless. That's why they want a different kind of America. They don't want a United States of America, and they are achieving their objectives one after another. And so now that this SCOTUS ruling has been revealed in and it's in our favor, what does that mean? What's next? What is it? And what I guess what I'm really getting at is, what is the left going to do next? Because you know that they'll do everything within their means to keep Trump away from the White House.
Well, I sure hope that Trump has good security, good personal security detail, and that it's been doubled and tripled, because when they lose these cases, and they will, this whole lawfare campaign is coming unstuck at the seams. And as they lose each of these things, they're going to become closer and closer to the desperation that would threaten Trump's life. And so I sure hope that that he has good protection there. But I do think, assuming that the election process goes forward and that they don't find a way to stop the election from happening at all, that what they will attempt to do then is on January 26th or 6th of 2025, they're going to try to just not certify the election. And what will be so ironic, deliciously ironic about that, is that they will be actually doing precisely what Trump was asking them to do when his election in 2020. He was asking them to basically invoke a constitutional provision that gives Congress the power to either certify an election or send it back to the states for confirmation. And so what's so ironic about their saying he tried to overthrow the election is that they are now contemplating precisely the measure that Trump was using legitimately. Only then it was just the bar of having, I think it was the one representative from each chamber that it would have required to send it back to the states for reconsideration or what have you. I don't remember exactly what happens there, but now it's going to take ever so much more. And that is because of what the Democrats did. So there's another bit of delicious irony, is that the last resort measure that they are contemplating has been made ever so much harder because of their own action.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that, as you said, the lawfare surge, I mean, I think they're going to push it to the limit that they can, but it is truly unraveling. And I don't see them gaining a victory at this point in time. I don't see that there's any way that they're going to keep Donald Trump off of the ballot. And if you look at the polls and if you look at just what's happening in America right now, the trend, there's just no way that Donald Trump will not be elected president unless they can again steal the election through the voter fraud. What do you think the chances are of that happening, Tricia?
I think if we make it too big, I think that it may have been the fraud that they have been using, which is the ballot stuffing and then the weird counting, remember the weird Dominion counting where they had fractional voting and that kind of thing, where, you know, they such weird reports, and the fact that they were pulling boxes out from under table. All of those tactics are predicated on it's being at least close enough that they could, that they could make up the difference. And so, if it's large enough, then perhaps they can't do that. I can only pray that that's the case. The tactic I think that they're gearing up for, because they're already working with China to come out with another pandemic-like thing, and they've tried several, they've done trial balloons with several different kinds of viruses and so forth, if they see if they can scare us, like monkeypox and so forth, remember. But I think that the credibility of the CDC has been damaged enough now that I don't think that's going to play well either, even if they try to say, okay, we've got another pandemic and we've got to shut down again. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. I think that people have wisened up. There's very few people now who are taking any more of the COVID booster shots. They know it is a deadly game. It is a bioweapon. That's been proven. I still think there's a lot of people that don't believe that. They're completely duped. And no matter how we've tried to warn them, the only way they're going to see it is they're going to watch their friends, their family members fall, dropping like flies, and eventually they might finally come to that conclusion. So I would be inclined to agree with you that I don't think that is the big thing that's going to arise. However, I just wrote a recent article titled November 5th, 2024, Whatever the Outcome, Disaster Looms. Now, that sounds like a doom and gloom article, but what I'm really was thinking of doing is preparing people to think like a leftist, just have them think, okay, reason it out. If we were in their shoes, what would they do next? And what I am wondering and speculating on it, and I personally believe is happening, is that they probably do have a full-blown, very well thought out, well-planned insurance policy in case Trump is elected president. Would you yay or nay that?
I would say, yay, they do. Tell me what you think that policy looks like.
Well, I think we're seeing it playing out. Of course, it's incremental. They're going to do everything they can to stop Donald Trump. If they cannot stop him from being on the ballot, okay, there's going to be a vote. The way the trend is, there's a very, very high chance that if there is a fair election, Donald Trump will be our next president. I mean, I don't see how that could not happen. You don't have a guy like sloppy, demented Joe Biden. Being popular with the people. Everybody knows he's a puppet president. He's not in control. He's not in control of putting on his own Depends in the morning and at night. He can't do anything. And so what really disturbs me is we got supposedly the Republicans, supposedly the conservatives, and they are not, they haven't done a blooming thing to go after the chief puppeteer, to find out who he is, what he's doing. Everybody suspects it is Barack Obama, but nobody, and I mean nobody, is pushing it. And why? Are they afraid for their lives? Are they afraid they're going to be snuffed out by the Clintons? I don't know. But it just totally disgusts me that there seem to be so few people who have any testosterone flowing through their veins or have any spine. It's like the whole American or the human population is becoming invertebrate. We don't see anybody with a spine. And that just frustrates me to no end because it's going to allow them to implement this insurance policy. And what comes next? Well, I think you mentioned it. If they can't stop Trump, will they try to assassinate him? Probably so. I think it's a very good possibility. If they cannot assassinate him, he's got good protection, he gets elected, what's next? Well, you said also, right, that what's it going to be? Well, the next thing is going to be they're going to contest the election. They will not certify it and, cause whatever confusion and chaos there. I also mentioned as part of that insurance policy that they might choose to get us into a war, and that might be in the process right now, to where they will declare martial law so that we do not have election. Exactly what Zelensky did with Ukraine, right?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that is a possibility as well. I think that one of the things that in our thinking about the left, and sometimes it feels like they are indestructible, and so they're invincible, but they do rely on political wind. And they and if that weren't true, they wouldn't spend such enormous amounts of energy trying to generate political wind with their propaganda. So they do rely on that. And I think remembering that causes us to say, okay, well, if we know that that is the case, then the erosion of subscription to some of their ideology that has been shown to be so extreme that not even the virtue signalers are getting behind it, then we recognize this thing can flame out. This leftist push that is so reliant on pushing really extreme ideology and insisting to people that you can't trust your eyes and men can turn into women and all of these extreme things, it's losing subscription even among people who would otherwise vote Democrat, because they can't really vote Democrat anymore. They have to vote for either this extremism or, an America First policy that can't be all that bad. So if we can cause this not to be a referendum on the personalities or whether or not Joe Biden is senile versus Trump is the mean tweets guy and that kind of thing, if we can get off the personalities and we can compare an American platform to a Marxist platform, we don't even need to talk about Republicans versus Democrats or liberals versus conservatives, all of those terms that have so much baggage attached to them. I think we just need to talk about what's good for America versus do we want an agenda that dissolves our sovereignty and folds America into a global Marxist regime? Because I think even people who are really put off by conspiracy theories are beginning to recognize that, okay, they do want to dissolve the border. And yeah, they do want to change the purpose of border security there. And all of those things are going against the interests of America. When you try to depress energy production and you push all this crazy sociosexual ideology on people, it's off-putting even to moderates.
You know, Trish, what I really wonder is there a point of no return? Because what you're saying, I think, is very true, that people are coming around. There is, and I'm so thankful to God for it, there's an America First movement that is really gaining a lot of momentum, and I'm happy to see that. But what I also see is brewing is this, what I called in that article, is criminal transnational army that is in effect being hired by our own treasonous government. I mean, we're going to see between now and Election Day an incredible surge in all these illegal immigrants coming in. I mean, we saw, for example, from the illegals from Venezuela, which is where the murderer of that Georgia nurse came from.
Oh, yeah.
7,300% surge. This is according to Judicial Watch. So immigrants from Venezuela, 7,300% surge in that. And just in that country alone, they're getting paid by our government, funded in every way, taken care of. And here we got our government stockpiling the weapons, the ammunition. What if they handed those weapons and ammo out to these people and said, go get them? What if that was the final insurance policy when all else fails? Now, that would result in a lot of chaos. And consider also the fact that every single government virtually, every government agency is an armed agency. I mean, there's lots and lots of them. I think that's when it could all hit the fan, and nobody even wants to think about that. But how many more illegals are going to come into our country between now and then? There's going to be millions, you know?
Yeah. And I'm glad to see that This morning, I noted that Tennessee is sending its National Guard to the border.
Yes, I saw that. And I think that's good. And by the way, when I was talking a little earlier about a militia, that's kind of what I'm getting at, is we are seeing states unifying to help Texas protect its border. But also, how are they doing it? They're doing it by taking on the federal government. And that in itself is acting like a militia, is it not?
Well, okay, there you go. The militia is obviously the actual definition of it is able-bodied men within in military age, able-bodied men within the population. I mean, that's the actual definition of the term militia as it's used in our funding documents. So that's what I but yeah, to invoke the National Guard in each of these states and send them down in Texas support, that's exactly what needs to happen. And I think the federal government, I think the administration backs down when they're faced with that kind of situation, because I don't think that they recognize, and this is where we're talking too about the role of political wind. I think they recognize they don't command the political wind that would support that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, we have kind of forced them to show their hand when the Texas National Guard said, hey, no, we are going to put up the razor wire, and if you want to tear it down, we'll put it back up again. So they're not directly confronting them. And maybe it need not to go that far, but I was pleased to see that some of the federal agents said, look, we're not going to interfere with Texas. Mm-hmm. In other words, there are real human beings out there who understand humanity, who understand good and evil and the difference between the two. And I think that could very much work in our favor.
Well, the administration is acting like a bully, and a bully, when a bully is stood up to, And it's clear that the people are behind the victim of the bullying and not the bully, then the bully backs down, because the bully is animated by a tyrannical impulse, not by any real conviction.
Well, I suppose so. And isn't that what America's always been? We've always been in favor of the underdog, right? I mean, we were the underdog when we took on Great Britain, England.
And I'm glad to hear you talking about the underdog. Steve, you have a story about that, and I want to hear that right after the break. I'd love to have you talk a little bit about your own experience with facing this behemoth, and we'll be right back with more about that.
Well, the year 2024 is upon us, and it is our chance to get it right and take back a free America. AmericaOutloud.news is your source for uncensored and factual news that facilitates truth and unity among all Americans to restore that American dream we have always cherished. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
And we're back. For the latest in health resources and product innovations that will really enhance your life, we'd encourage you to go to the OutLoud, to use the code OutLoud when you go to AmericaOutLoud.shop, and you'll get special discounts on a big family of health products there. Steve, speaking of health products, you are a medical doctor and you had one harrowing experience with this. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about that?
I'm not sure what you're referring to specifically, Tricia.
You faced down the during the COVID era, all of the hyper-regulation and everything having to do with vaxes and masks and all of that, and you were forced to face down that in your own personal life and professional life, were you not?
Okay, so that's what I thought you were getting at. Yes, and believe it or not, Tricia, this is not actually known information, but I was persecuted heavily for treating COVID patients with success. 100%, they all got better. And I had a protocol that did not use ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or all the other stuff, really. I had my own protocol. It worked very, very well. I had used it for many years in my medical practice. Nonetheless, I was taken down simply because I was helping people, but I was definitely not complying with the narrative. And surprisingly, what's not common knowledge right now is that my statute of limitations is running out on this because I was just recently turned down by the Oregon Supreme Court. They denied my appeal. And so we are about to file in federal court to dethrone the Oregon State Medical Board. Specifically, but what we're fighting is what we see in our entire government. The state medical boards declare to have supreme power of the judicial system. They claim to have absolute immunity. So what they say is, look, we can do whatever we want, and you can't go after us. You can't do anything to us because we are acting as a judicial entity, despite the fact that they have no jurisprudence training whatsoever. They're buffoons. They are clowns in court. And of course, they do their damage in administrative courts. So unfortunately, this persecution still goes on for every medical doctor that is in practice today, unless they're part of the system. So that has not gone away. In fact, it has escalated. And there are people who are opposing it, but they're paying an awful price. They are getting beat up pretty bad. And a lot of doctors, independents, have retired, and that's exactly what they want. They want us to be beaten down and to quit. And we must not ever quit. And I'm talking about fighting this entire battle because it is a battle to save America.
Well, and once the good doctors, the doctors who were successfully treating COVID and other things, once they are purged from the practice of medicine, then you have the medocrats. That's all that's left, right? The medocrats.
You do. You have Nazi medicine right now. Most people are just afraid to go to a hospital, afraid even to go see a doctor because they don't know who they're dealing with. They don't know if the doctor is going to be acting in their best interest or not. Now, I'm sure there's some very good, sincere people still in medicine, but the majority of them, even the good ones, are tucking their tails and they are following the narrative simply because they want to survive. They like the money, they like the comfort. And as you hinted to early on in this program, they are not suffering enough. They don't want to give up their comforts. And we have to be willing to pay the price for freedom. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And I was destroyed for doing the right thing. And I have no regrets whatsoever. I would do it again. And I'm willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice for the sake of my country. I have no hesitation.
God bless you. Wow. God bless you, Steve. And you know, when you say that the agenda in medicine is completely different, I was appalled to see that where it had been that individual patients were treated as an individual presentation of conditions and age and so forth, risk factors and so forth, now the patient population of a given doctor is being treated as a collective. You know, the statistics are what drives it. How many of them have had the injection? How many of them are this or that or the other thing? And so basically we're collectivizing the practice of medicine, aren't we?
We are. And it's not about knowledge anymore. It's kind of like the movie Ratatouille, you know, follow the recipe. And that's the way the new medical students are being trained. They're not selecting the most intelligent. They're selecting those that are most capable of being puppets and following that party line. So they'll do what they're told without question.
So that means that a complete collapse of basically medical innovation. It's illegal to innovate, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't say it's illegal, but it's actually gotten to the point where to submit a good research paper, it takes practically an act of God, because they don't want that information out there. What they want is information that will control the population. And I experienced that firsthand trying to publish some case studies on central pain. It was literally near impossible to do, simply because they would not allow it. And that's what tells you we're in trouble, because if they can control medicine, they can control any aspect of society.
Well, yeah, they're basically controlling every body in the nation in that way. Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. You know, I think this comes out of Obamacare, really. Once they secured control of the funding of medicine, then
absolutely,
they actually secure the delivery of services. They can control it there too. And so, yeah, that's why we were fighting. We should have fought Obamacare with everything we have, because that was the point at which we yielded control of the practice of medicine to the agenda, you know, and the administration. So that's terrifying. What do you see as, because I'm seeing that there's more information coming out all the while against the shots and against the shutdowns and against the mask mandates and all of the crazy stuff that happened during the COVIDocracy. I'm seeing more information coming out about that. And I'm seeing that it's creating distrust in both not only the CDC, but in doctors themselves. Like you mentioned, people are a little bit more reticent to go to a doctor about anything because they don't know whether they'll their own interests are going to drive the process or whether some agenda is going to drive the process. But don't you, at some point, doesn't the political wind take on a bit of meaning in that? I mean, don't we end up rebelling against that in consequential ways, like lawsuits for killing kids with these shots and things like that? Don't we get to a tipping point of, okay, we've sustained enough damage that we're going to fight back? Do you see that happening?
I do, Tricia. I'll keep this answer short. I see we're about out of time. But yes, I think that everything comes down to educating yourself, gaining knowledge and truth from the reliable sources, and that can be done if you're interested in seeking it. That is the only way you're going to be able to protect yourself. And then beyond that, we simply have to act in such a way that we defeat the enemy. It's as simple as that.
Oh, well, there you have it. This, the solution long-term is always that we unleash the truth.